Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
I still have to read it from the thing.
And we are having cocktails at my house.
G&T. Or was this vodka?
You have a V&T. I have a G&T. And we're going to have dinner and watch a little Netflix. Yeah. But this week, listeners,
we have a letter
for you.
Yeah.
So, Joss, why don't you start us off and pass it off to me?
I will.
It is a novel.
It's a long
listeners,
one, but it's good.
It's really good.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, ladies. I've recently stumbled upon your podcast. You both have a wisdom and insight I hope to one day embody. When you giggle together, I can't help but laugh, too. I wish I had this show years ago to help me on my voyage in both choosing and being a healthier, happier friend. As I listen to the show, I notice I still have work to do. I am still working on boundaries and more, but I've come a long way. I'm lucky to have an amazing partner of 21 years, three awesome kids, and several close, wonderful friends. However, I have an old foot sore that occasionally opens back up. I would love your take on my unique situation. Get ready for a doozy. I have a friend, now ex-friend, we'll call her Swiper,
not her real name,
for most of my life. We've definitely made some happy and joyful memories, but there was also a lot of complicated drama. Our families were intertwined, so were holidays, weddings, etc. So for a huge part of my life, she felt like a sister to me. It was a complex and unhealthy friendship overall, but it endured such a long time, and I think it was hard for both of us, for us both to end. Over 5 years ago, we had a falling out, which was incredibly painful for me, as she behaved in a hateful manner. I typically am a non-confrontational person, but on this occasion, I gently stood up for myself. This ignited into a violent outburst from her, and afterwards, she left. She proceeded to ignore me from then on. We definitely had disagreements before, some of which she would blow up, but typically she would attempt to rekindle the friendship. After this last squabble, I had a feeling we probably wouldn't come back from it. I did hope she'd reach out so we could at least have some civility for our children, who were friends and families. She did not. Over a month passed, and I was still hurt. She ignored me on social media, and one day I noticed she had unliked years worth of my photos. Who has the time to do all that? Even her husband, at the time they've since separated, ignored me on all social platforms. Then her family, then certain mutual friends did. A couple of my close friends that were aware of the situation encouraged me to block her. I did. After a while, I felt mean and guilty, so decided to just remain neutral and not block her or friend/follow her. She soon blocked me in return. I decided to let it go and attempt to move on. Moving on was a challenge, as we are from the same town and have so many acquaintances and friends in common. Unfortunately, what she did most of our friendship and continues to do since it has ended is occasionally upsetting to me, and I need some help navigating the aftermath. I feel the backstory is probably necessary. When we met, she didn't have many girlfriends. She had guy friends, but, quote, girls didn't get her. I drew a little red flag.
Red flag. Right. We should have a little red flag.
I don't know. A little drawing of red flag. Yeah. Okay. Throughout our years of friendship, Swiper seemed to have exactly the same interests as me. If I said I liked something, she did too. It was nice for me to have someone with so many shared interests. As the friendship progressed, one moment, we'd get along great, and then out of nowhere, she'd punch me in the arm and playfully call me a bitch. I didn't banter with her like this, so actions like this always caught me off guard. She would speak to me one day and embarrass me in front of a group of friends the next.
Red flag!
Another one. I wrote here, she was a frenemy. I would share an idea, but before I'd execute it, she would do it. She was better socially. I was awkward, could say the wrong things, and was an extremely sensitive person. I liked her because she seemed stronger and tough. Where I might cry, she got angry and broke things.
Red flag!
She seemed more confident than me. When we were out together, I would feel more confident. We were seen as two peas in a pod. She called me more than any friend and lavished attention on me. I came to depend heavily on her. I believe I was dependent on the friendship with Swiper to get by socially. After getting my first apartment, I began filling my home with the things that felt unique to me. She would somehow find similar things of an uncanny resemblance for her home, too. In our youth, these things felt like our shared similarities and didn't bother me. As a young adult, it irked me a little. If I mentioned to my other close friends that I felt Swiper had too much in common, they would say imitation is the finest form of flattery, as if to excuse her. So I excused her. As I grew older, I married and met more friends and became a bit better socially. Swiper wanted to be part of these relationships. The more time passed, the emulating felt more noticeable. Many of my collections became hers. I had a book collection, and she once talked me out of buying a very rare antique book I wanted to purchase in a store. She pointed out the flaws and made me feel it wasn't worth it. Later, I stumbled across that book in her bookshelf. I got earrings from this artsy shop. She got them too and liked it like she didn't know I had them already. I once had a sample of a new perfume I intended on getting to replace my current one. I shared this with her. The next time I visited her, I spotted the perfume in her bathroom. I inquired about it as she made fun of me for wanting it. She said her mother had given it to her and she grew to like it. She had the perfect excuse every time I questioned anything. I was made to feel like I wasn't a good friend or I had problems with these coincidences. That's called gaslighting, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Throughout the years, her mom got her boatload of things I had in my house. Occasionally, I found my own thing. Then it wasn't mine anymore. Many times I would lose interest in hobbies or back down from what I liked if she felt she was making it hers or it seemed like a contest. She called my knitting a boring hobby when I shared my new skill, only to take it up years later and out-knit me. I went to a local college on scholarship. Swiper went to the exact one several years later on the same scholarship. When I transferred and relayed what I was working on at my new school, she said the professor we both had taken at her current school said she was the most talented of anyone that had ever come through his doors. I was made to feel my past efforts were not as good as hers and my new experience didn't matter. I would get a compliment and she would tell me she did too. Someone would say in front of us that I looked like that one actress. She would counter with how she couldn't see the resemblance. Again, it's called gaslighting, sweetheart.
Yes.
Okay.
It went on for years like this. I tried to blow it off, but it did affect my self-esteem, as she intended.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up in different towns, but not too far apart. She continued this weird game and even got a cat that looked like mine. Anytime I pulled back, she became so kind and I got sucked in again. I would think maybe the games ended, then they would start again. It sometimes felt hard to distinguish our actual similar interests from what felt like I was being copied. If I tried to have a discussion about these things, she convinced me she liked them first, or it was some coincidence and I was making it weird. Sometimes I doubted my sanity. I developed a need to prove things to her, almost as if I was proving my worth. She could be very competitive, and sometimes it would elicit competitiveness in me that I didn't know I had. Or I'd find myself being petty back. I didn't like these qualities she brought out in me. I didn't have these problems with my other friends. Most of the time, I backed down because that was easier. The friendship could be as exhausting as it could be fun. Our kids were best friends, and I honestly didn't know how to end the friendship, or if I wanted to. After college and starting my family, I created a plan for my new career path. She took many of my ideas, got ahead in her endeavors with the help of a boyfriend. They married, he started a business with her, and the business flourished. Meanwhile, I developed a severe illness that lasted for several years, and my life felt like it was falling apart. Eventually, things did get better for me, but for a very long time, I had to watch her succeed from the couch, my dreams coming to fruition for my friend, who could be downright cruel to me at times. I endured some other trauma after, and then sought therapy. Some therapy later, I realized I had clung to this relationship because it seemed normal to me. I was mirroring the relationship I had with my parents. Okay, that's a whole other letter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still wading through the consequences of allowing that friendship to persist. I've tried to make peace with the end of it. I think I have, for the most part. Well, 65 to 95%, depending on the day, week, month. I realized I was codependent and addicted to the drama.
Mm-hmm.
Until I wasn't. I believe she could sense I was done after our last debate. She had always reached out before, letting me know how much she missed me, reconciling. Not that there were ever any heartfelt apologies. Memories between our families, children, and mutual friends will always be part of my story. My current issue is that I feel a little like a victim of identity theft. She is still living a version of my dream, and apparently that isn't good enough. I'm much more introverted than her, but I do share on social media for our family and friends what my family is up to. It was brought to my attention that she has been mirroring every family trip we've taken over these years apart, and is still filling her home with things I have gotten since our split. I'm on a private account, but somehow she sees my photos. Honestly, it made me feel a little sick. My husband's job moves us frequently, and she has been visiting those places soon after we relocate. Mm-mm. I feel angry. What's wrong with her? The weirdest part is that some aren't even tourist destinations. She went to my last town months after we left. I get that our sense of self was so tied up with one another through the years of friendship, but it feels very invasive and like I still cannot have anything of my own. I feel violated, like the paparazzi is following me. Cue my new theme song. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Because truly, I have no privacy. I wish it didn't bother me, but knowing for her this is a never-ending game makes me want to hide away like a hobbit. It makes me want to never share my joyful life on social media, never tell our mutual friends what's going on with me, and go off-grid completely. It's like I'm part of a competition I was unaware I was partaking in these last couple of years. Then it was brought to my attention that the old foot sore is open again. I had a wise friend who once said to me, "It's not a competition if you don't make it one." Very true. But what do you do when years of mental war games have left you in the rubble? What happens when you aren't as good at taking action on your own dreams as your imitator, and she is relentless? Maybe once I was addicted to that drama, but I really do want to move forward. I want my own personal pan pizza, and I don't want to share. Mm-hmm. What do you do when someone is stalking and photocopying your life, even after you've been done with one another for years? Mm. Sincerely, Dora the Explorer.
I've never gotten a letter like this.
Holy crap. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's serious.
All right, Dora. Have you ever seen a movie called Single White Female?
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so it's well before your time, I'm sure. But it's about this. It's mm-hmm. about
exactly
a woman who moves in, a shy, meek woman who moves in with, a roommate, mm-hmm. answers an ad for a single white female. Don't know why they needed to include race, but she begins copying her clothes, mm-hmm. haircut, mm-hmm. job, you know, way of speaking, mm-hmm. everything. And, you know, it's actually like a horror film, mm-hmm. you know, it's a thriller. But mm-hmm. I mean, this woman's dangerous.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think she's really dangerous. I want you to make sure she's blocked on all your social media.
Yeah.
Not just unfollowed or snoozed.
Right.
Like fully blocked. And make sure that your page doesn't allow for sharing. It doesn't. You can really lock down your page. Mm-hmm. Then clean up your page also so that you just don't have any old friend who can see it.
Yeah, one of your friends is showing her stuff.
Yes, yeah.
And you need to figure out who that is.
Yes, yes.
So Sniper is a narcissist.
Yes.
Or worse.
Yes.
You know, whatever she... Whenever you do something, she has to one-up you. You know, mm-hmm. if you buy a car, she gets the nicer model of the same car. If you fly business class, she flies first mm-hmm. class, you know. She wants you to feel inferior mm-hmm. because you're the original.
Yes.
You're the original. She doesn't have anything without you. She can't even pick out a cat without you picking out a cat.
Or go on vacation without
That's
figuring out where to
so
go.
So creepy.
It's really creepy.
So, Dora, know that she is jealous of you first and foremost.
Yes.
Right?
Always has been.
Yep. Always has been. And you were the first. You're the trailblazer. She always follows you. She doesn't have an original idea in her head, it sounds
no.
like.
No.
So you have the style, the dreams, the desire to see new places. And she mimics you because she's empty inside.
Yes.
And she knows it.
Yes.
This has been going on since you were 12.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you contribute to this by thinking that your life is worse than hers.
Right. I said the same thing.
Knock that shit off.
Yeah,
right?
Cut it out.
Yeah, you're wrong. Because without you, she'd just be flapping in the wind.
Yeah.
Or latched onto someone. Like, what is the shark is swimming in the remora.
Yeah.
Just to it.
Yeah.
She's the remora. You're the
she
shark.
Is. I did write here that you're still really bitter over her co-opting your business idea. and it's the bitterness that is keeping you in a relationship with her.
Ooh.
Whether you want to be in it or not. Which I know it's hard to get over to see her do that. It's like she violated you.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yeah.
But it is keeping you engaged.
Right.
You know.
So you're going to have to let go of that. And I think the best way is to complete as much as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Cut her out of your life.
That includes, I wrote, boundaries with people who are also her friends.
Yeah.
So they need to know that you do not share anything from my page. I don't want to hear about her. If
mm-hmm.
they start to bring her up, say thank you, I don't really want to hear about her. And just set some boundaries with the people around you so they know that Swiper is not a topic of conversation that
yeah.
you're going to have. Because the thing I'm feeling like that the people who keep letting you know that Swiper is doing all this
mm.
stuff are kind of invested in the drama
as
well.
They're the problem.
They're
friends.
A problem.
Yeah.
So be clear about what your boundaries are with these people other than Swiper.
Yeah. I thought about an idea of, you know, and again, it's a little bit on the petty side.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you don't want to engage in this, but what if you sent her a note saying, like, Beth told me about your trip to Yellowstone the year after we went,
mm-hmm.
and then your trip to Paris the year after we went,
mm-hmm.
and she mentioned that you bought a yellow couch after I posted a picture of my yellow couch.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to see that in some respect we're still those two peas in a pod,
mm-hmm.
despite the fact that our friendship ended.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so flattered that you continue to be inspired by my experiences and style.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're enjoying your life as much as I enjoy mine with my wonderful kids and partner. Glad to hear you're doing well.
Yeah,
right? So this is a letter she could read to anyone.
Yeah.
Say, like, would you believe what she sent me?
Yeah.
And it's perfectly
yes.
pleasant.
It's gracious and cordial.
And in that way, you let her know
mm-hmm.
that you know
what she's doing.
And you're not bothered by it.
Yes.
Even though you are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you're just like, oh, isn't that amusing?
Yeah.
She also went to Yellowstone.
Yes.
She also bought a blue sweater.
She got the same cat I did.
She has my hair cut, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think when you look at her life, you have to view her through the lens of... she's someone who is damaged and insecure
mm-hmm.
because she clearly is.
Mm-hmm.
She needs you to
mm-hmm.
tell her what to do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
She might look better in her Instagram and Facebook life,
mm-hmm.
but she knows.
Mm-hmm.
She knows she's dependent on you. She knows she's copying you.
Yeah, she can't do it without you.
She's the imitator and you're the original.
Yes.
So, you know, she's not in your life anymore. And your life is better for it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just keep remembering that.
Because yeah.
you're still, as Joss said, you're still playing into her hands.
Yes.
By being angry, by being bitter. The
yes.
65% of the time, that's not enough.
No,
100% of the
yes,
time.
Yes, yes.
And it will take some time.
It will. You've got to admit that you still think about her and are angry about it.
Yeah.
And then you've got to really refocus your thoughts.
Right.
It takes practice to do this.
Right.
But you've got to refocus. So instead of being angry at her, you're going to turn things around and refocus. I'm working on this new hobby. I'm going to get involved with
right.
that.
Right. And she is damaged and
yes.
Possibly mentally ill.
Yes.
I'm so glad that I cut her out of my life. Anyway, Mom, this cake is amazing. you shift your focus because I know
shift.
You can be obsessed with
yes.
a frenemy.
Yes.
And because they cause you so much hurt and then you know, like it gives you a lot of energy and fire
yes.
to be angry.
Yes.
And that energy could be much better placed into being happy,
yes.
joyful,
yes.
playing with your kids,
yes.
you know, doing your things without worrying that she's copying you.
Yeah, I agree. It does take time.
Yeah.
I know you and the kids are still friends with each other.
If that's true, I would really ease out of that. I would not let your children in her home.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. And if you happen to see Swiper, you know, you'd be cordial, but you don't offer any personal info about yourself.
Right.
Not even where you got your outfit. If she says, oh, that's a cool outfit, you say, thank you.
Yeah.
And if she asks you where you got it, you said, oh, it was a gift.
It sounds like they're not even speaking anymore.
It is, but I worry about with the kids that they have a chance to run into each
yeah.
other. And I don't want her to feel like she's every little thing she's telling this woman will then go back and copy.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little more judicious about what you say right. to her. You've got to be, and other people as well. Again, I can't stress this enough. People who have come back to you and said, well, you know what Swiper did? They love that drama. Yeah. So you have to make sure you talk to them and say, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Please don't do that. I don't want to hear
I'm
it.
I'm really not interested.
I'm not interested. You know. So don't bring that up. Yeah. And draw a hard line.
And I won't have this conversation.
Yes. Draw a hard line. Yeah. And then you'll stop hearing about it. Get back involved in your hobbies. Volunteer.
Yeah.
It's always good. Kristen's doing great volunteer work. It's mm-hmm. always good to volunteer because you get out of your head.
Right.
You're helping someone else.
Right.
And it feels really good.
See other people's issues.
Yes.
It puts things in perspective.
Yes.
But, you know, just know that even when you stop competing with her, she will always compete with you.
Still.
She doesn't have anything of her
own.
No,
she doesn't. She's very sad.
And, you know, you depended on each other. You were in a codependent relationship mm-hmm. with you leaning on her for social comfort and her leaning on you for ideas and identity and, mm-hmm. you know, style and all that stuff. But feel sorry for her, mm-hmm. you know, and also know that you have broken out of that competition cycle.
Yes.
And she hasn't.
Right.
And that's just another reason to pity her. But when she crosses your mind,
mm-hmm.
you just think, that was a bad relationship. So glad I'm past it. And what a nice time I had with Joss last
yes,
week when
right.
we did something healthy and
right,
normal.
And
you know.
And yeah. But I say boundaries, dear.
Yeah.
Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries with the people surrounding you who are still invested in the...
Yeah.
In, because it's juicy to talk about. I mean, this letter was just crazy.
I know. We couldn't. We were like, oh my God, did you see that letter?
Yeah. So it's juicy to talk about. And friends will have gotten used to you and that relationship with her.
Yeah.
And just wanting to let you know she's still doing it,
yeah.
but you don't need to know.
Yeah.
So boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. For your family, too, even if they come
mm-hmm.
to you and say... You know, she's still doing it. I saw one of the kids.
Or just like, oh, Sniper, you know, expanded her store or
yeah.
whatever it was.
Yeah.
You can say like,
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
So we're not friends anymore.
Right. So
and,
not that interested.
But yeah, I'm really
yeah.
not.
Yeah. And just hold that line.
Yeah.
Because I think that's keeping you in the relationship also is people coming back to tell you this stuff.
Yeah.
Clean out your Facebook,
mm-hmm.
your social media. Make sure the groups that you create on there are very locked down.
Yeah.
And there's a way to do it to lock it right
and
down.
And you know, honestly, who cares that she's copying you?
Mm-hmm.
You were there first.
Mm-hmm.
You decided that, you know, orange is the new black or whatever, you know. And you, if she follows in your footsteps, you know, you don't need to know that. But you just keep doing you.
Do you? I promise you, you can do whatever she's copied from you and do it better.
Right. You don't have to give up knitting because she's a better knitter.
Yeah,
you can still enjoy knitting.
You can enjoy knitting. Do your own thing. She copied it from you for a reason. So
yeah.
go back to enjoying the things that you used to. Don't
right.
give up those things just because she copied you.
Right. Right. And keep seeing your therapist
because this
is... It is really hard. I mean, this is why we have the podcast. It's
yeah.
really hard to let go of a friend who's been so entwined with your life for
yeah.
so long. It's going to take some time.
Yes.
It's going to take mental discipline.
Yes.
Not to dwell on her.
Yes.
And, you know, like Joss and I have had those toxic relationships that we didn't know were toxic
mm-hmm.
and until, like, the shit hit the fan. And it took a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took a while. You do retreat and lick your wounds. But you said this last blow up was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to bury that
mm-hmm.
and leave the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's done. And she wants to keep it alive forever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play.
No.
And
no.
every time you get upset or angry or want to talk to your husband about it, she's winning.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So shift the focus.
Yeah.
Look at your joyful life
mm-hmm.
and don't let her steal your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hand it over to her.
Right, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Continue with therapy, though.
Yeah.
That's going to be really helpful for you.
It takes a while.
It does take a while.
You need to grieve the friendship
mm-hmm.
that was so important to you for so long, but also, you know, acknowledge that this was always messed up.
It was never good.
Yeah.
Even when you were young, you guys, it was never good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you're doing the adult thing You're modeling the behavior that you want your children to see. Mm-hmm. This person was cruel to me, mm-hmm. so we're not friends anymore. Mm-hmm. And if your kids are still friends, I would start backing out of that. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to tell your kids the truth, mm-hmm. When it's uncomfortable. But you could say something like, for a long time, Sniper and I were friends, but then I realized that she didn't really like me and she would find ways to cut me down, mm-hmm. and I could not trust her to be a kind person. And I hope that her kids are different, but that's why mm-hmm. I don't engage with her anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old your kids are. Maybe they're grown now, but it's okay to tell the truth. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And say, like, I was wrong. I put my trust in this person. I kept going back for more. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see you kids doing the same thing.
Right.
So, be honest. And just when it really gets to you, just say, I know I was the original. Mm-hmm. And she does, too.
Yes. That's why she's copying you.
No matter what.
Right.
She's following you.
Right.
And so in that respect, you have the high ground. Mm-hmm. And when you stop looking over your shoulder to see if she's following you, mm-hmm. you're just going to have a better life.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
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 Good luck to you. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.